You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. Beware,
I live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller. Anthony Gallegos is here.
Yay.
And Rich George.
What's up?
Is also here.
It's my scoop virginity right here.
Popping a cherry, just like Anthony popped his knocking boots cherry earlier this week.
Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to scoop.
We got a big show for you today. Lots of stuff to go through. Later on, we'll be talking to a couple guys from High Voltage about Conduit 2 and other fun secret things.
Yeah, definitely stay tuned for that one.
Yeah. Yep. So let's get right to it. First of all, last week we promised one lucky listener would win a copy of Mass Effect 2 on
we
the
did.
PlayStation 3.
The definitive version.
It's kind of true. We have that winner here. Ross Liu of Hart, Michigan has won a copy of it. Congratulations, Ross. I will mail that out to you today.
Michigan looks like a hand, Damon.
Yeah, or a mitten.
I feel like if you live in Michigan, you need video games.
Mm-hmm. Looks more like a...
Because you don't have a job. Let me tell you, there's no jobs in Michigan. Tim Allen keeps getting on the TV trying to tell me to go there. No, I'm not going to fall for this Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's on Michigan commercials?
Yeah, he does the voiceover work for it. Oh. Yeah, in Michigan we have lakes and shit. I didn't memorize any
that
of
that. Sounded just like Buzz Lightyear.
To infinity and shit.
Listeners, if you want a copy of Alien Breed 2 Assault for the PlayStation Network, grab this code right now. RBJG2NNRJMBK. Good luck with that one. Since PlayStation Network codes are so easy
they
to read out.
The tongue.
And I have a bunch of these codes. Maybe I'll read some more over
the podcast.
Oh, you can
pepper them in there.
Yeah, if you guys
like
remind
good
me.
Spice.
If I remember. Big news this week. The next PSP... It's finally announced.
Yeah, it's not the PSP 2.
No.
It's not small.
Codenamed.
Doesn't seem all that portable.
Why are they codenaming it?
It's not a slider.
Codenamed NGP for yes. Next Generation Portable. Terrible codename.
Yes.
Worst codename since the GameCube was codenamed the Dolphin.
I feel like sure. The only reason they codenamed it is so they can have another event just to blow out the real name.
Are
like they, Microsoft did with the Kinect.
Exactly, right?
Are there good codenames?
The Katana. That was what the Dreamcast was.
Revolution.
Such a cooler name than the Dreamcast.
I liked Wii's Revolution.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
would
nice.
Rather it had been called the Revolution.
I know.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a much better. But I'm glad this
NGP.
Is a bad,
that sounds
a bad
like,
codename. And nobody can remember it.
It's like
I have to write it down when I talk about it.
They sound like an insurance
PSP2. Otherwise, nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
They might as well have just said PSP2, it's a codename. But maybe so. Why would they do that?
Why would they not call it the PSP2?
Well, how many? Because I mean, how many podcasts have we been on where I have to scream at Craig Harrison? Is well, the PSP has been in a 6-year tailspin. Like,
but it looks just like a PSP.
Totally.
So what are they going to call it?
I don't know.
The PlayStation brand is still carries a lot of weight.
And
so they should call it a PlayStation something.
The screen says next. PlayStation. I do think that's a big part of it. What you're going to see when it does.
Maybe they should like try.
It's going to have PlayStation
no,
in the name.
There's no way they get rid of that.
I know. Maybe now they should call it a PlayStation Portal, not shorten it to PSP.
Mm-hmm. PlayStation
call
Touch.
It the PlayStation,
PlayStation
Pocket.
Touch, PlayStation Lite.
I've heard a lot of Next references.
PlayStation
like,
Next?
One of the games they've put up is Hot Shots Next. Right, right. That's one of the ones that's on the screenshots and stuff. And there's another game in there that has Next in the title, too.
Nice.
So people are doing that. But that could just be, you know,
I want Extreme
Japanese.
PlayStation. With an X, no E.
Extreme.
You know? Yeah.
Powered by Dew. No batteries needed.
I never understood why the PS1 was called the PSX.
I didn't know that it was.
Yeah,
that always threw me off.
People will talk about the PSX, meaning the first PlayStation. I don't get where the X
is. It's a weird abbreviation.
If you wrote PS, everybody would say postscript. I was in the middle of this article. I was in the middle of this paragraph. Why am I getting a postscript now?
It was like the GameCube was GCN.
GameCube Nintendo.
Yeah. And then Japan, it was NGC. But that makes sense.
We just need three. We need three letters for anything.
I think it has to do with like product coding or something like that. Because the GCN came from like the actual serial number that was on the bottom of it. So maybe that's PSX. I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway,
these crazy video games, I tell you.
Yeah.
Silly name aside.
Yeah.
I am kind of interested in checking out the next PSP. Let's call it the PSP 2 for now.
Agreed. Yeah. Okay. It's gonna be funny in a year from now. Somebody's gonna come to IGN and it'll have the real name, and then they're gonna see all these NGP stories in the back and be like, "What the hell?"
It's
is
like Natal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm just not interested in paying $450 for it.
Is that what you're predicting at it?
Yeah.
I mean, in a perfect world, I hope $299, and I mean, I still think that's high.
It's
but
no way. Is
I know. Yeah. I know. It's no way. I think more realistically, it'll
$349,
be $400 even.
God, it's so expensive. It's just not.
It's going to be $450. That's why they joked, haha, it's not going to be $600. But they also have said people will find money they didn't even know they had.
I never find money.
Who said this? Who
Jack
said
Trenton.
How do I ever find money I didn't know I had? I mean, like, I don't just happen to cross $400. You're like, oh.
Don't you think they learned something, though, with the
I would
PS3?
Think so.
Like,
did
the
they learn anything?
Was such a big deal of your overpriced
we've seen this, like,
jokes about getting a second job.
I wrote this thing in the thing yesterday. It's like, we've seen Nintendo and Sony doing the same thing three times in a row. It's like, you know, PSP, DS, you know, Wii, PS3. Like, they do the same things. They're like, in the case of Sony, super powerful. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Super expensive. And they did it three times in a row. Potentially three times in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nintendo does their same thing, but we don't
I hope
that.
I hope they are in a place right now where they take a hit on this initially. You know what I mean? A bigger
hit.
You want them
to take a hit.
They're no matter what they price it at, they're going to at the beginning, right? Anytime you put out new tech,
only Nintendo does that.
A lot of times they do, but I don't know that Sony can afford to do that because it's not just the games company that's suffering, like,
Sony
in general
is more than just Sony Computer Entertainment.
TVs and everything, none of it's doing particularly
well.
But
strictly on the game side, I mean, the PS3 is profitable now. So, I mean, they've turned their
It is now.
Yeah.
Like 5 years later.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying everything's, you know,
I'm just I think that they will sell it to, at least to break even.
That's no way. No way. Only Nintendo has ever sold out, like, made sure they sold at cost or profit. Like, I can't think of another.
Nintendo's the only one that makes.
They make profit at the launch. Like,
yeah.
It's like starting because they're
because to
clever,
be fair.
Actually. They're good at business, well, I guess. I don't know. I mean, like, but Microsoft and Sony have always sold at a loss, I think, right?
From
what we understand, anyway.
I think that's a traditional hardware sales.
And then model,
You make money on software.
Yeah.
Are we surprised it's not a phone? Not a PlayStation phone.
No, not at all.
Not a surprise. People talked about that, so where did that come from?
No, there's still a PlayStation phone in the works. That's for sure happening.
We just know that's coming next month.
It's called
there's
like
two
a
things. There's
Sony
the
Xperia.
Xperia, yeah. And
so there really is a PlayStation phone.
Yeah, but it's not going to be called a PlayStation phone, of course.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what they talk about here, right, is their PlayStation Suite. They're getting their stuff on Android Marketplace, getting out, you know, having their PlayStation 1 Classics. That was the groundwork for them now to announce, hey, Sony's got a new phone called Xperia, and it's designed to work with the PlayStation Suite, and you slide it up and you have the buttons there.
Yeah. I'm actually amazed they don't have the word PlayStation in that phone, so I guess they really want to distinguish it so that
there's
no brand confusion.
Totally, right? Like, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes on those launches, but somebody had to have been like, oh crap, we're going to run these things right up against each other. Let's not confuse consumers.
That could be dangerous.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Do we know anything about the capabilities of the PlayStation phone yet?
Engadget put up a thing this week. They bought it from, apparently somebody in China smuggled it off the assembly line, and they bought it there, and so they have
crazy
a whole
smugglers
thing up there. Scott Lowe boiled it down. I out of all the now, text stuff.
Do we know if it's as powerful as PSP 2?
Oh,
like
not
that?
At all. No, not even close.
So it's more like PSP level.
Totally. This thing, I think it's, everything we've read, it's around like PS1 to PS2, somewhere in there, some kind of, that's what the suite is, one of the main things about it is that you're going to be able to play Final Fantasy.
I think that's going to confuse people. I think people might be like, I'm going to go buy my PSP 2
stuff. I was just confused.
You're pretty dialed in the industry.
I think maybe gamers will be confused, but the average person isn't going to go buy a PSP 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably ever. So
will they buy a PlayStation phone?
The average person might buy a PlayStation phone when they're at the store and they're looking at phones and they're like, oh, this one has buttons. It's made for games. Honey, you like games.
Yeah.
There's no way I would ever buy a PlayStation phone. I mean, just off the top of my head. They'd have to announce something very compelling because I've got my iPhone.
Exactly.
Like,
the iPhone is the best gaming phone.
And do we know how big the PlayStation phone is?
As we'll hear later on the podcast from High Voltage, like they said, the iPhone's like the most successful portable gaming platform to come out of the last 10 years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Going back to PSP2, you think release this year? So they said.
Yeah, they said holiday. They didn't bother to break it down U.S., Japan, or anything like that. I hope it's worldwide for you to come out and have this, big deal and show.
They have a whole year ahead of them now.
And this is something. I mean, PSP2 has been rumored forever. Like they've been working on it for a long time, right? As far as going through iterations, people have been talking about leaks about it forever because devs have had the tools forever. Like it's not like this is just getting sprung on people. You know what I mean? Like Mortal Kombat guys are talking about having it. There's a whole bunch of other companies who have been talking off the record about having it. It was supposedly at GDC last year, E3 last year. You know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. The tools have been out for a while. That's why I think they were able to come out with
What do you think took such a long time, then? Is it just them,
I mean, it's Sony, right? So getting PS3 profitable, maybe getting to a point where they felt their user base were, ready to take that on. You know what I mean?
Not only that, but they didn't want to sabotage the sales of the PSP Go that they were releasing box sets of last year because no one would buy it if they knew a PSP 2 was coming out.
The PSP last year was totally its swan song, right? Like that, it had an awesome year, awesome games, not a million games, but Metal Gear Solid, Valkyria Chronicles.
Exactly. No one would have bought those.
Ton of stuff. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They didn't sell like hotcakes as it was.
But wait and see.
You definitely don't want to come out and say, hey, PSP. It's like right now, what does this mean for this year's game sales for PSP? Patapon, the Cydia 2, okay, are they going to be backwards compatible? Will I be able to download them? And I'll just wait, and I'll do it here, and I'll have this. So.
At what point in history were hotcakes selling so well that it became a phrase say?
Right after when people got to America.
Do you know this?
Yeah, don't you? This is a well-known story. You get to Ellis
Island. Totally bullshit answer now.
You get to Ellis Island, and they were like, all right, cool.
Give you some
Here's
flapjacks.
Your new last name if you'd like to trade in one of your children for flapjacks. Hotcakes? Hotcakes feed family.
So PSP2. It has two analog sticks.
Not nubs, real sticks.
That's exciting to me. Yes. I hate the nub on the PSP with a passion. If it were a human being, I would murder it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You only murdered one other person.
I know. It was
rest in peace, Mike Seff.
I'm excited about having two analog sticks. I hope they're not too high. Like, can it still fit in your pocket?
I wish they were low.
Are you going to put it in your pocket? Like, you used to see me carry on a PSP 3000, and this thing's bigger than a PSP 3000. That's my.
I'm more worried about the sticks getting broken or strained.
Totally.
One way.
Yeah. Like I am. They are more raised up. They're like nipples that have been rubbed with ice. Like they are definitely protruding.
You're getting my nipples hard right now.
I'm hoping this is I think something that's possible, even though other people think it isn't. You're going to be able to push them in and then turn them to the side to lock them. So then it would be more fun.
This is just you. This is just Greg Miller
talking. I've seen that in other things, though.
What?
I don't remember. I know. I should have.
The only thing
I've
ever seen
technology.
That is the 360, the limited edition D-pad that could pop out.
Not pop out, though. Just pop in and turn to a lock position. That's all I'm saying. I know I've seen spring-loaded things like that, but I can't. I got nothing. Listeners, go find me what I'm talking about.
I'm sure the listeners are going to help us out now. It's going to use physical media. You're still going to be going to stores to buy games, yeah?
Kind of. It sounds like it's going to be similar. There is a physical media drive on it, but there's also another slot on it for expanded memory. They're not talking at all about internal memory, about flash storage like PSP Go. The gist of what I'm getting from it is that, indeed, there are going to be these new physical flash cards that you can go, which sounds funny to say, but, basically SD cards, but not SD cards. That way you have to buy Sony's SD card. Anyways, you can go to the store and buy that, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be still doing the whole digital. You can also download your game straight to it from
here. We'll see. I mean, the whole thing is that back in the day during the PS2 days, Sony had retailers enough by the balls that they could be like, oh, we're going to start releasing our games digitally. But now they're in third place. They can't, because then retailers will be like, we're just not going to carry your handheld then.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they'll have to release their games as physical media in stores. Like, they will have to.
For sure they're going to. I'm just saying I think there's still an option they're not going into yet.
The thing is, 3G, it has Wi-Fi and everything like that.
Not even third party.
So, speaking of 3G, that brings up another confusing aspect. Are we going to have to pay for a data plan?
I don't know.
You would have to.
That's crazy, though. Nobody wants to do that.
See, I don't know.
What 3G provider is going to let you do that for free and destroy their
Sony
bandwidth?
Who wants to buy a $450 portable gaming system and then also subscribe to a data plan?
The problem is that they showed us so much, but they said so little. You know what I mean? There's so many questions left about this thing. I think that in the same way we were talking about how I'm saying they have to take a hit on it, and we're worried about Sony as a corporation. There are so many arms to Sony and their phone business and everything else. There could be some deal somewhere that has it where, you know what, we need to use 3G strictly for you getting on and being able to download games, and for you to be able to use their new interface is like driven by always being online. It's all like if I'm walking down the street, I can pull it out and see what people around me have been playing in this area, so I can then click off of it and then go buy it off the store. It seems like that whole slice of the system has to be on all the time, so it has to be a feature. I'm not ready to say it needs to be paid for.
I thought I had read that they were actually going to have multiple SKUs, one without a 3G.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I haven't seen it confirmed. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things right now where they did their press conference and closed, and now all these different sites are saying all these different things, and all these people are saying, you know.
Just chaos.
There's so much talk right now, but there's no one there to say this is really what's happening.
Yeah, that's always fun. Good. Yeah. Good messaging.
And like, how would you?
Poor Ryan Clements is alone in Tokyo trying to make sense of
it
all.
I don't understand. That would be another question, though, right? If they didn't learn from all the PS3 stuff they took, why start releasing so many SKUs in the beginning to confuse people? Why make a system right now where you come out and show it to everybody and talk about how, like, that was their big thing, that this is the integration of your real life and your digital life. So I don't see how they can make that pitch for it and then say, oh, but if you don't want that, here, you can buy it without 3G. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know, but I want to.
Touchscreen on the front. Touchpad
on the back.
I don't remember if we were talking to the High Voltage guys. I don't remember if we were recording when they were saying this. They said they'd had PSP2 dev kits for a while, and they don't know what to do with the touchpad. They're like really confused by it. They're like, I don't know how we can use this.
Yeah. I've heard people saying that for certain shooter games, you could map the R2 and L2 buttons to it.
Yeah, a lot. That would be a way around not having a second trigger.
So there isn't a second trigger, so you could tap the sides.
The backs.
I think tap would work. I don't know that I really want to be, you know, we're all sitting here like wiggling our fingers. I don't know. We really want to do that.
Did you see any of the Uncharted demo?
No, but I saw. I think you were playing a video and showing someone
totally
stroke
the Uncharted
in the back
demo.
And that was
like
weird.
It was like, hey, here's Uncharted. This is how good it looks, and here's all the goofy ways you could use the system if you wanted to. And so they had him. They were pointing on the front screen. They're pointing at things for him to jump up and grab to. And then on the back, when he got onto one of the vines, they took it and were like, very weirdly, like alternating their fingers petting the back of it, which was making him go hand over hand and climb up.
But
the
why
vine.
Not just press up on the
exactly? Or that's why all that shit better be optional. Like nobody wants to. Like it's the same thing as 6-axis, right? Like when they tried to shove that into Lair. This is all the only way to play Lair. This is the only way to throw a grenade in Uncharted. Everybody's like, fuck this. Nobody wants to do this.
And I think the trick is that they're showing, you know, as much as I want Uncharted on the PSP2, at the same time, that's a very traditional game that I want to play in a very traditional way. Mm. You know, when to go back to Nintendo, when they show you something like the 3DS or the DS in general, they're showing you games that, you know, make sense for the stylus, for the touchpad. If I see Uncharted, I'm like, oh, I just want to move the sticks.
And I really think that Sony gets that by now. I hope.
Yeah, I just wish they'd shown some of those types of games.
Well, you figure Uncharted's really in Little Deviance is all they showed, right? And then they brought out a whole bunch of third parties. It's a new IP. I was newsing stuff during it, but it's basically this was when they were using the touchpad to kind of screw with the Earth at the time. So like he was touching the backpad, and it was making a hill in the game and stuff like to come out towards the screen.
It's like Populous.
Yeah,
sure. It was a lot like if you were like pushing up on the back of a piece of plastic with your finger is how it looked. Yeah, yeah.
That was cool.
So I hope they get that. I think it was just that, hey, we know what we're doing. Here's Uncharted, our flagship franchise, and here's how you could use all the goofy crap in
it. It's weird messaging again, though, because it's just like, if you're going to show me this functionality, show me a game that makes sense for it.
Yeah.
You know, show me Uncharted 2. That's cool. You know, I'm fine with that. But then also show me a game where I'm like, ah, I understand why.
I get why I need a touchpad.
It's true. They didn't have enough games that made you think, oh, so this is what all that stuff's for. As in, it just seemed like, oh, we're just doing all of our console games for a portable.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which this is going to be really expensive because of these two things, and you don't want to use either of them. So sorry.
Well, I mean, and that was the weird part. I mean, the third party that they brought up, you know, like those guys have been like, well, we've been working on this for like 2 weeks. These are not announcements at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a little weird too, because it'd have been cool if someone had been like, I'm making this game. This is awesome.
Here's it's like when they showed, when Nintendo showed 3DS at E3, and they had like 50 third-party games there.
Yeah, and they just showed like, there's like, these are all the brands that are coming out. Not just companies, these brands. Like, there will be a Saints Row game. Like,
yeah, and then you find out later what all there is.
Yeah.
Saints Row 3DS, my most anticipated 3DS game.
Okay.
I hope Terry Patrick is in there.
That'll
give us another excuse to talk
like
to Terry
Saints
Patrick.
I like Saints Row.
You would.
I'm just teasing. Listener Aaron Scott writes in.
Hey, no, Anthony, think about what you're doing. Taping my coffee, I tell you. These kids.
Listener Aaron Scott writes in and say, anyway, now that the PSP 2 has been announced, I'm a little taken back by no mention of 3D capabilities. My eyes are just as bad as yours, Damon, if not worse, and I struggle with 3D movies at the best of times. However, since the 3DS does not require glasses, I'm actually quite excited. Can't wait to see if I get an improved 3D effect. Do you think Sony will announce some sort of 3D support at E3? And if the PSP 2 is just an upgrade of the PSP, do you think it will get lost in the crowd of iPhone, iPad, Windows Phone 7 stuff? Anyway, two questions.
A lot of questions there.
Yeah, so 3D is a big push for Sony.
Yeah,
they're trying to sell 3D TVs. They make games that you'll want to play on a 3D TV.
Blu-ray.
But they didn't include include any 3D on their PSP 2.
Probably.
They're just going to let Nintendo dominate that whole portable 3D market?
I think in the same way, right, they're going to let Apple continue to dominate. Like, they came out and they were not saying, hey, everybody, we learned our lesson with minis. Here's how we're going to do minis and make them work. No, nobody fucking wants to play Angry Birds on their PSP. They want, like, the kids who play PSP all the time want to play Valkyria Chronicles. They want to play Metal Gear. They want to play real games. And so the people who, like, I was talking to Ty yesterday, and he was getting all caught up, Bromley. Bromley was all caught up in, I don't want to play Uncharted. I want to go and play that on a big TV. I want to do that. And I'm like,
Where is that?
For certain people, sure, but like for me, no way. Like that's my problem. Is like when I go travel, I don't use my iPhone because I don't want to play little games like that. I always say, "Damn, I wish I had Fallout on my PSP. I wish I had something that was that deep, that engaging."
Can
where
we confirm
I could play
Fallout's coming to PSP?
I think so. Dave Klayman, he didn't want me to say anything, but he did say hello to me the other day, and that's what I took away from
it. And listener Wildebeest writes in, wondering with the recent announcement of the PSP 2. I was wondering what your thoughts were on its hackability. One of the major draws and major downfalls of the PSP was how easily it could be hacked. People enjoyed homebrew apps, emulators and ROMs, and of course, buttloads of pirated games. In the end, I believe it made developers afraid of developing for the handheld because of its insecurity. What do you guys think will be the case with the PSP 2?
I think...
Will there be piracy on a console? I mean, that's like asking like if it's going to be foggy.
PSP tomorrow. Has like more piracy than most.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sony's shown the last few months how excellent they are with their protection measures. So
randomly generate those numbers, okay, man? Oh crap!
We're just going to make all of them one. That's what they did. There are two numbers, randomly. And one of them's always one.
Anything that can be hacked will be hacked eventually. I think they're more. They're definitely
That's Greg's law.
Totally, yeah. They're definitely more confident in this one, I'd say, than in the past because they have trophies on it, which is the whole reason they never put trophies on PSP regular, which they knew everybody wanted, was the fact that they knew they couldn't protect it. Like, they knew that as soon as they did it, it would be hacked and somebody would have a million platinums.
I feel like every console that comes out, they're like, our piracy protection is better than ever. And, like, 2 weeks later, it's like, I think
you just challenge nerds when you say that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Exactly. They're just going to go do it anyway. And you also encourage it when you region lock things, I think. Actually, I asked someone at Nintendo about that one time. I'm like, do you think region locking encourages piracy? And they're like, never thought of it that way. I'm like, how could you have never thought of that?
I wonder if they'll push movies on the PSP too, as much as they pushed them originally on the PSP. Maybe digital downloads.
That'll be where it's at, right? Because, I mean, the PlayStation Store has the whole video tab.
Remember the UMD.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The UMD.
Never forget the Universal Media Disc.
I mean, they sold UMD porn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. listeners, here's another code for Alien Breed 2 Assault on PlayStation Network. BDEDHBNA6C6J. Greg, when you and I are walking down the street and I say HB, what is that code
huge
for?
Huge boobs.
Yeah, that's true. Listeners, let's check in with the listeners.
Also, Damon, usually what happens is there's not even the word as much. Usually you're in front of the pack with your hands in your pocket on your sweatshirt, and then when somebody will pass, you just turn around with these wide eyes and look at me.
It's true. Okay, now we are joined by two very special guests. From High Voltage Software, we have Eric Knopfsinger, Chief Creative Officer, and Matt Corso, Art Director. You're, of course, currently working on the Conduit 2, coming out for the Wii in April. What was the release date that we finally settled on? April 19th.
That is correct, sir.
That's right.
The sequel to the Conduit.
Yes. Actually. Yeah, we're super excited about it, and thanks for having us here.
Of course. Welcome. Now, GameScoop has roughly 50 million listeners, and you have direct contact with them right now. You are going to be speaking directly into their ears. So tell the listeners the three most important things they need to know about the Conduit 2. Go.
It's a video game. That's number one.
That isn't pretty important.
Number two is you should probably own a Wii if you buy this, because you might be let down if you bought this game and then you don't have a Wii.
You get to shoot Mario, right?
And no? That's for the sequel.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
We're saving some stuff for the next one.
Conduit 3 confirmed.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
And then the third thing that they need to know is. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
So
those are three very important things.
Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, the things that they folks need to know is, you know, we're very cognizant of the stuff that you know that folks liked and didn't liked about Conduit 1. You know, we were aware that they, you know, we got some stuff right and we needed to work on some stuff. And you know, the things we got right were. Our technical, aesthetics. You know, we're doing some stuff on the system that other developers and publishers really weren't doing on the Wii. Our multiplayer is pretty darn good, and our control was really pretty solid. Mm-hmm. You know, we feel we got that. It's the Wii is a natural, you know, analogous controller input to. A first-person shooter, you know, you aim and you shoot things in the face, and that's I think we got those things pretty good. Stuff that we didn't get so good was story. You know, I think our story was a little slipshod, and the presentation of that. I think the single-player campaign was not as good as it could be, and our design was a little rough and around the edges. And you know, I think that there was some unrealized potential. A lot of that came from, you know, we tried to do a lot. We were very ambitious. You know, game was good, but this one's better.
Yeah. It's just a lot more interesting game this time. I mean, with the last game, we set out to make something, you know, that we thought would be kind of cool and creative. And, you know, we think that people responded pretty well to it. But, you know, with the sequel, it's like there's so many things we knew we could do better. And we just wanted to have more fun with it and not try to be like as serious as we were before. And like, so there's a lot more comedy written into the story, a lot more interesting characters, and just the whole world is just like way cooler, more sci-fi elements, better weapons. And like everything just has a much more, it'll grab your attention more, I think, than we do with the first time.
We just wanted to have more fun with it. You know, we were like, in the first game, I think we got a bit swept up and all the hype and everything was... You know, I think there was an expectation from consumers where, that this was going to be the holy grail of video games and going to be the Halo killer or something. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we're sitting around looking at each other going, oh, my God, what do we got to live up to here? This is, I mean, we wanted to make a good game. We wanted to make a really good game for the Wii. But, you know, we didn't have aspirations that we were going to be, you know, the game that was going to be the new standard for all first-person shooters and be taught in schools from 100 yeah, years from now, exactly. You know? Yeah. It was like, this is, you know, we just wanted to make a good game and a good foundational game. We had ideas that we wanted to explore. It was a little tougher than we thought, you know, developing a game engine like this while we were developing the game. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why this game... we think is a lot better than the last one.
Yeah, is it easier, I say easier in quotes, to make a sequel after you've put all the work in the first game, you've made your engine, and now you can just kind of like build on that and flesh that out?
It absolutely is easier as long as, you know, the big old caveat there is if as long as you approach it as, you know, not trying to reinvent the wheel, not trying to, you know, do, you know, oh, this time we can do it all better in, you know, and throw a lot of stuff out and, you know, not build on things. Well,
That did happen on one or two things. I mean, it's a very easy thing for developers
exactly.
to do. It's a trap you can fall into.
But the places that things did get redone in this game, you know, were for quality things, you know, things that just didn't, we knew we could do better this time, you know. I mean, your guys did just tons and tons of concept art and we refactored a lot, you know, all the environments are all new, all the character models and stuff were all redone. And that was because we knew the tech better now and we knew what the capabilities of what we could do and we wanted to push it even just a little bit further. But, you know, if we could have just reused some of that stuff from before, but I don't think there would have been a discernible difference for, you know, for the gamer when they saw it. It wouldn't feel like a step up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were trying to be more fantastic. I think it was cool that we embraced, you know, this iconic setting of DC in the first game because people recognize it from movies and stuff like that. They'll go, oh, Jefferson Memorial or, you know, the Pentagon or these different right. settings. And they go, oh, wow, you know, I remember that or I've been there maybe on a holiday or something. And
can you lay out the concept of Conduit 2 and exactly like, you know,
no,
what?
That's unacceptable. Yeah. No, the Conduit 2, just it picks up where Conduit 1 left off. But you don't have, you know, we definitely wanted to make sure that you could play this game even without having played the first one at all. It's a standalone beast in that, you know, there are lots of nods for people that did play the first game and definitely a lot of nods to the fans of the first game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we wanted it to be a standalone thing. It's an alien invasion story. Mm-hmm. And in itself, that doesn't sound that interesting. But where it
I
is,
don't know. Alien invasions generally are pretty interesting.
Well, it may sound a bit cliche, but where it starts getting, where it gets more interesting is when you start putting more things into that of the idea that, hey, you know, there are these aliens that are sort of behind the scenes that have been, you know, pulling the strings of societies throughout history, and you know, in the first game we reveal that that John Adams is the John Adams from U.S. history, and he's been, you know, sort of in the wings, you know, manipulating our culture, mm-hmm. and in this game. We reveal more that it's worldwide, and that, you know, and we get to travel a lot more diverse locations, China and Siberia, and even more fantastic locations like Argartha, Lost City of Atlantis, and places mm-hmm. like that. So, cool. So it's alien bugs, and you get to kill them.
you guys mentioned multiplayer as being one of the things you did well in the first game, mm-hmm. and obviously, I'm sure you guys are building upon that foundation. Can you talk a little bit about the multiplayer? And I mean, just yesterday, you guys actually revealed a whole slate of features that were going into the multiplayer.
Many modes.
Yeah.
There's lots of modes here.
Yeah, that has definitely been an area of focus for us. I mean, since June of 2009, when we shipped Conduit 1. We right away went into development of Conduit 2 with the team, and that was, you know, that's something that the teams love to work on because mm-hmm. it's something that you can do together. We really wanted this to be a good first person shooter, not just a good first person shooter for the Wii, mm-hmm. and you know, a big part of that is having the diversity in those modes and ways that you can play. You know, different rule sets, different types of even modifiers within those. You know, we've got a whole perk system that allows player to upgrade their play experience and go in and play the game how they want to. And that's, you know, those are the kind of things that I think that are going to keep people engaged in it. It's pretty cool that we still have a large number of people that are out there playing the Conduit right now. Which, you know, I mean, on the flip side of that, you could say, well, there's not that much on the Wii for them to be playing online, but you know, I think you know, we owe it to those folks to make sure that that we're addressing all of the things that they've been asking for is to the best of our abilities. And why I put that to the best of our abilities, we definitely don't want to overextend ourselves. We don't want to do anything half-assed this time. If you do, you know, I think people have been very generous in saying, well, you know, we understand, we'll give you a second shot. Let's see what you had to do this time. Hmm. You know, you did pretty good this first time, but they want us to deliver the goods this time, you know, and that's what we're definitely trying to do. And that was really the impetus of all of the multiple modes.
I have to imagine you pay close attention to similar games on the Wii. How did you think GoldenEye turned out?
I think it turned out well. I mean, you know, definitely we're very cognizant of that. I mean, I can show you guys while we're sitting here, you know, like, you know, stuff that we do. Like,
Eric has an iPad here.
Yeah, sorry.
Something up on.
Yeah, so your viewers can see this too.
Yeah, of course.
Now imagine this. This is really, I'm scrolling through the pages right now of the iPad.
This works really good.
So I'll describe that.
He has a lot of apps.
I do. I just downloaded the new Dead Space. I'm really anxious to play it on the.
It's really impressive.
Yeah,
it works well.
Because I got maxed out on. You know, you guys can see that we do a lot of side by side comparisons. Yeah, you know, we do competitive analysis of all of our products, and you'll see that. You know, we compare our video guys. We've got some really good folks that go through and they'll pull video from competing products to try to do as good as possible of an apples for apples. And our designers do that, and you know, our artists do that, and everyone tries to be very aware of what we're up against. You know, I think that we're definitely competing in those play spaces. I would say, as a gamer, though, I think GoldenEye. You know, I love GoldenEye and N64. I'm not sure that the new one is. I don't know that it didn't hit me the same way as and that may be just the nostalgia and my dentures rattling, you know. But
yeah. I kind of feel like you know, the original GoldenEye.
And the screen is filthy. Sorry,
the original GoldenEye, Rare back in the old days, is a really cool company, and they were making some really interesting stuff. And I think
talking about Rare.
Rare.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's really hard to live up to that.
Yeah.
And it seemed like with the new GoldenEye, I mean, it's a really high quality game. It's a lot of fun to play. It's dry as all hell. I mean, that's really what it came down to for me. It's like, it just, you know, reached a point where I just didn't really feel very interested in continuing to play anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, a lot of that's just due to the fact that, you know, it was trying to be true to the movie, and it was trying to be something, you know, kind of, you know, that felt like sort of the old GoldenEye mixed with the new Daniel Craig film. And I think they executed on that very well. It's like I said, great fun to play. But again, it's not what we're doing with Conduit 2. It's like with Conduit 2, we wanted there to be more comedy. We lightened up the colors a bit. We embraced the sci-fi more. Like Conduit 2 is going to feel much more like, I think, something that you know, a player, when in your mind's eye of what Conduit is supposed to be, and when you think about like a great fun first-person shooter that just entertains you, that's what Conduit 2 is all about. It doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, it's more about cool weapons and having fun and blasting aliens, and you know, and hopefully we did our job in the end, and by the time you finally get your hands on it, it's like you'll enjoy yourself and you'll find it to be a cool experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was just something that I think was a bit more true to ourselves. You know, we wanted something that was, you know, a lot of story there, but not, you know, we didn't have to be quite so heavy-handed with it. I mean, no one in this industry that I know is, you know, all that, you know. You know, that dark and brooding, you know, dark side kind of folks. You know, we're just regular folks that just like games and
they're
love
called,
this.
They're called games.
Yeah,
exactly. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I know. It's like, you know, I think with the first game, there were some places where we took ourselves a bit too seriously and you know, felt like we should be wearing a beret and debuting at Cannes or something. You know, it's like not really what we were shooting for. And so we definitely reevaluated that, and pulling some external writers really helped with that. They did some good things there.
I wanted to ask you guys about the delays. I think, you know, I think a lot of gamers were kind of expecting it to hit, like, I guess late last year, and then we kind of shifted over to a little bit towards March, and then yesterday we found out it's coming in April. Are you, can you guys, like, tell our listeners what the delays are about or what's going on, you know, a little behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's this guy's fault over here. No, it's the delays are, you know, it's something where we, you know, we've all been about polish and finishing this thing right. You know, we're doing a lot of things with the game that are new to Nintendo. They require a lot of waivers. They require a lot of, you know, a more involved process to get through certification.
Okay. It just takes... I always thought Nintendo was really laid back and easygoing.
Really? No, Nintendo's been wonderful, honestly. They really have been very open to us, but it's just a process, you know, and they're very cognizant of their you know, their user, and they want to make sure that they're not doing anything that's going to, you know, endanger the public good or something. But, you know, they don't want to do something that is going to open them up for...
this specifically in the realm of, like, multiplayer and connecting to people online and that
definitely
sort of
in that area. Okay. And so those are... And they also... You know, you're never going to find a developer that's going to say no to more time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the most precious of all of the attributes of developing games. You know, you have more time, it allows you to get more polish and tweak things and tweak things and tweak things. So, you know, definitely sorry to the fans that are waiting for this and want this thing out there. Yeah, we could put a fork in it and say, yeah, it's out. But at the same time, you know, we need to get through certain steps in order to make sure it gets out right. And so we're all working closely together, Sega and Nintendo and High Voltage, to make sure that this thing goes out and it's cooked properly, you know, and you're not getting a half-cooked meal.
Okay. I was going to say, listeners, just so you know what we were looking at on the iPad a few moments ago, they had side-by-side videos running of The Conduit with GoldenEye and also Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Conduit looks, you know, as good, if not better, than both those games.
Thank you. Well, and you know, we tried to, when we did those kind of analysis, you know, we try to be fair as well. Mm-hmm. We try to make that a side-by, you know, as close to an apples-to-apples as possible. I mean, obviously those guys, you know, don't have... you know, giant monsters and things like that in their game. But, you know, we try to pair up scenes that make sense. And then, you know, it's not fair to just judge it on aesthetics. Those games are good, too. I mean, that's something that maybe we're not pointing out as well. Okay. I know we're kind of...
Sure, I don't think...
I don't want to come across as caddy.
You're not shitting on these games.
No, they're good. And we want more good games on the Wii. That's definitely something that we're very keen on. We think the Wii deserves to have good shooters. We think this is good for gamers and it's good for Wii owners.
Yeah, and actually when those games were announced, I was actually very happy.
We're very excited. Yeah.
Because it legitimizes first person shooters on the Wii, I think, a bit better.
And there's a lot of things on there too that, you know, I've definitely serious respect for. I mean, the fact that GoldenEye they have, you know, they got all those voice character actors. They got all of the likeness. They've got some great cinematic work in there. You know, definitely very respectful of the quality of work that they did.
So I'm actually curious. That leads to one of my other questions: is where do you see the state of Wii development right now as a whole? You know, you guys are mentioning that you're happy to see things like GoldenEye showing up. That the Wii needs better games. Wii needs good games. Do you think there's just a general lack of good Wii games? Or, I mean, like, what do you see as the overall state of development? We get a lot of people saying, and fans, and just analysis, you know, in the industry going, where's the Wii 2? You know, Wii is dead. Oh, it's done. It's seen its best years, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it's seen its... I don't know whether it's seen its best years, but it is certainly sad to see, you know, when you see these top 10 lists of what's coming out this year, you know... you know, Zelda's on it, we're on it, you know, there's a handful of other games on it, and then it starts getting real dicey real fast.
Yeah.
And that's...
We were doing top 10s for 2011, and I had 6.
Yeah. Were we on it?
It was a little tricky.
I hope so.
Yeah. Good.
Thanks. So, yeah, no, in all honesty, it's one of these things that's, you know, you want this system to do well, you want all the systems to do well, for some reason, this system has, for many publishers and developers, has been the redheaded stepchild. They've never quite figured it out. You know, it seems like they're rushing for that, you know, that quick solution, or they, you know, of, you know, there was the waggle the Wiimote period where everyone was like, hey, this is it. Oh, carnival games. Now that's it. Everything's got to be these, because that's the real audience. That's going to be the mystery formula that breaks it. And Dead Space didn't do so well. That's clear indication that everything, you know, the sky's falling. There's no way that this kind of game could ever succeed on that. And I think that all those kind of assumptions are, you know, very reactionary and weird, because the system still holds a lot of potential. I think that, you know, you see Microsoft and you see Sony and the way that they've extended their hardware. Nintendo's still, you know, a money printing machine, and they're definitely their games are really solid. You're seeing a few games come out here and there of third party that are really solid.
Feels like it's like 5 years in. It's just now people are really starting to.
Because it just seems like they never, like so many publishers and developers didn't really embrace this thing. They wanted it to be the.
Just because the Wii was so different and it sort of shook it up so much.
Well, and it's hardware wise, it's not the same beast. It's not as powerful as these other systems.
Yeah.
But, you know, our statement has always been, you know, it's capable of more than what people are doing on it. Mm. You know, and I still would, to this day, I'll still claim that there are GameCube games that play better and look better than a lot of Wii games.
Oh, by far.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking, actually. Yeah. You know, you can go back and play some of those, and you're like, why can't I?
It's just a matter of how much effort was put into development.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I think games like Mario Galaxy and stuff are beautiful, you know? And like,
Mario Galaxy 2 is amazing.
Yeah, if you do it right, it's like, there you go, you know? Yeah. So.
I mean, the thing about Wii for in my household is, especially with having a small child, it's like we actually make a lot of games, like with our Dora and Diego games that she can play. Mm-hmm. She's actually reaching a point where she'll go over to the game shelf, grab the games that I've made, hand them to me, and ask to play them. Uh-huh. So we get a lot of play in my household right now. And plus with Nintendo, you know, they make such great side-scrolling games, and always being such a fan of side-scrollers. I mean, games like Donkey Kong Country and the new Kirby and Super Mario Brothers Wii, and of course
Your daughter
Galaxy
can play
2.
Donkey Kong Country Returns.
She loves it.
For me, and some games I end up with my kids, I end up doing the whole, they can. Their skill set is so advanced for their age, it's crazy. And then the other ones, they get to a certain point, and then you end up taking over and finishing it. So.
Well, speaking of wanting cool stuff on the Wii, I have to ask, what the hell happened to Animales de la Muerte?
Oh. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Is that game still coming? Is that going to come out?
Yeah, very much.
Oh, my God.
Thanks,
we haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, thanks for asking on this.
Well, sure.
But this is, yeah, actually.
We're going back to the iPad now.
Yeah, we don't have a lot to show on it. Actually, we're really.
What can you say about the game while you're pulling
this
up?
Well, we finally have some bandwidth to put on it now that we're ramping down on Conduit 2. Okay.
We were worried that it had just been like killing.
No, it's just we only have so many resources in our studio. You know, we're around 130 people, and you know, it's when you only have so many resources, you can only spread yourself so thin before things start to suffer. And you do some projects to pay the bills, and you do some projects because you really want to and you love them. But you know, the last thing you want is the ones that people are really going to judge you on, like things like Animales or Conduit, to have them suffer, because they judged, you know, the whole studio, and they, you know, not just the consumer media, other, you know, publishers, you know, they look at those in a different light than they do our regular work for hire licensed work.
Sure. So is that something, I mean, Animales, do you think that's something we'll see in 2011, or is that likely next year, probably?
You know, we don't really have a day for that yet, but it'll, you know, it's, you know what, if we can meet around GDC.
That can be arranged.
That would, we'll have some really amazing stuff to show by then, because we're just pulling, we're just pulling this stuff over, and,
This is just
video capture of the game.
Listeners, if you don't remember, this is like Animales de la Muerte is a top-down sort of comedy shooter. It's a Zombies have taken over a zoo? Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, it's a zombie apocalypse in a Mexican zoo.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's blood everywhere right now. This guy just going around shooting.
So we refactored a bunch of stuff. So this is pretty early thing that we've got going, but we've just been refactoring a lot of our assets and pulling over stuff that, you know, we wanted more physics going on in it, and we wanted to start doing some stuff. But we'll actually have...
And that's XBLA?
That's XBLA, PSN... Okay. Probably Steam.
Okay.
So not for WiiWare then.
Well, could very well be for WiiWare as well.
I thought it was originally.
It was very much for WiiWare. We did some WiiWare stuff, and you know it did okay. We didn't lose money on any of that, but it definitely was. I would say it wasn't encouraging enough that we would be doing like a ton of stuff in that. Whereas like we're very keen on this other little handheld device.
What are you holding in your here? It looks like a 3DS you're holding in your hand right there.
Yeah.
The popular topic these days.
Yeah. Well, so on this one, you know, we're very keen on what this can do and the idea of what, you know, like with DSi and how you can vibe or, you know, apps on that, and we'd like to do a similar thing with what's going on with this system.
Do you have anything you can show us on there right now?
I might.
Seems to be booting it up. But what awesome surprises await?
What could it be?
So, I mean, just, you know, as a developer, what do you think of the 3DS? I mean, they're conferring with each other at the moment.
There are a couple things on here that you can... Okay, there's stuff on here you can't see, but there's stuff. Matt,
some stuff
so Matt's.
Can.
Oh, show that. That's nice.
This is killing me.
So this is pretty early on, but it's a.
Let's see. All right.
The 3D dials on there.
Oh wow. Listeners, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say what we're seeing or no?
I don't know. I'm getting no's from
we do have listeners. We do have a PR overload.
Yeah.
Carefully watching.
He's off the headset, but he's like shaking his head furiously. Yeah.
Let me just say, listeners, that what I'm looking at here is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. So
while Damon's playing that, I mean, like, generally, what do you think of the 3DS? What are your impressions of working with it so far? I mean,
oh, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. As a piece of hardware, Nintendo's always been so strong on handhelds, and we've done some work on handhelds with PSP and things like that, but we've not really had the opportunity to dive in on Nintendo handhelds until the 3DS, and it's something that, you know, Nintendo's been extremely gracious with us on getting us hardware early and working with us on that, because, you know, they recognized the amount of effort that we put on the Wii, and that we've been, you know, big advocates of their system. So working on it has been pretty wonderful, and the kind of, I think it's going to afford some new styles of game.
I mean, they introduced a number of features with the system. I mean, obviously there's the 3D, but then you have like the Street Pass, which is sort of passive connectivity between players. You've got, you know, Spot Pass updates. You've got, the gyroscope, all those things. Is there a particular feature of the 3DS? I mean, 3D seems obvious, but is there a particular one that really does excite you or that changes the way you look in terms of like gameplay or approaching games?
Well, I would say one of the things is that the hardware is more capable, for one thing. I mean, it's close for us. As a developer, that's one of the things that's most exciting, is the fact that it's
more powerful.
It's more powerful. So as it's getting closer to console specs, anytime the hardware starts getting like that, that starts falling more into a realm that we can start doing some really interesting things.
Does 3D change the way you guys approach games? Like, I mean, does it actually change games, or is it just like changes the experience of a game you're already making? You know what I mean?
Well, I think you could go at it both ways. Okay. You know, I think you could go at it with like, hey, this is, I think you could say you can make a game around 3D, or you could have 3D that enhances the experience.
Now, does it change the fact, because I can turn off my 3D, so does that, like, you have to say, well, it might not be there, so now I can't do what I might have normally done?
I mean, I think you have to be aware of that anyway, you know. I mean, there's going to be some of your consumer base that can't appreciate 3D at all. Either they may have maybe they don't have perfect vision, or maybe they don't.
Actually, before I upgraded my glasses, it was horrible. Like at E3, I was just like turning it off.
This is me. This is what I'm experiencing right now. There's like 11% of us who just my eyes are just too bad. So like when I turn the 3D slider up, the image just separates and I see double. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of get that there's a depth of field going on, but it's just like ends up looking really messy.
Mm. Okay.
The good thing is that usually on the DS, even with the 3D off, games look really nice.
That's cool.
So I still want to play it, but check this out.
Oh yeah, sure.
And there's some other levels on there we could show you guys too. Cool. I think some other sections. So. But it's just kind of a, it's anytime there's new hardware, I mean, we're all big nerds, so we love to, we dive into anything that's, new and exciting. We want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm.
Before we let you guys go, give us a quick update on the Grindr.
We're still working on it. We're mainly shopping for publishers right now. That's where we're at with that. I mean, we've got a really solid vertical slice. We've got a bunch of gameplay. If anyone has a rich uncle or
if any listeners want to publish a gory top down shooter, it's top down shooter on 360 and PS3. Still first person shooter on Wii?
That's still the plan. That's what we've got. Again, it's really where we differ a bit from other developers and publishers. We believe that. That the Wii shouldn't just be a chopped down version of the 360 and PS3. You should make something that's specific and unique to that when you can. I mean, we've certainly done our share of cross platform. Hey, this is a time to market kind of thing. But if you have the wherewithal to do make it its own unique beast, everyone's happier that way. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple games have kind of proven that if you do that, you might even end up selling sell the same game on a couple of systems. I mean, look at and not in a janky Best Buy versus GameStop exclusive kind of way. Mm-hmm. Which I'm personally not a big fan of, but I mean, more in a, like a Ghostbusters, for example. Like, I think, that was a game that, it was essentially a very similar game. But the Wii version, I bought both the Wii version and the 360 version of that game because I felt like it was they played different.
And its own art style.
And it had a very unique, different art style. And, I played... I played through the Wii one several times, but I didn't finish the 360 one, but I enjoyed both, and I didn't feel like I was ripped off.
Mm-hmm. Can we go time for one more question?
Of course.
Curious, we've got the 3DS is getting more powerful, you mentioned, and you're kind of getting up there in terms of development. We also have the NGP, which is now the power of a PlayStation 3. Do you guys ever worry as developers that portable gaming is now getting as expensive to develop as... console gaming, like, is that a problem for you guys?
Where it's a problem is aligning expectations. You look at gadgets like the iPhone or the iPad.
Your iPhone case is amazing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that is really cool. It's like got a cassette on the back.
Yeah, analog really cool. Cassette.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Cool. Yeah. Anyway.
iPhone expectations. Like you expect $1 or $2 for a lot of games, maybe you spend $5 or $6 on an iPad game. It's just like, that expectation for what you get is, it's...
Did Angry Birds ruin everything?
I don't know if
it's like the most popular game in the world. It's only $1.
Yeah. Destroyed the
game
industry.
You can play it for months and months.
Yeah, but I think we still have some learning. I think there's some stuff that could have to get sorted out. And I think a lot of publishers we've talked to, I mean, their expectations, the market will determine what the development budgets really should be. But, where it gets funky is kind of where it got funky with the Wii, when you had things like Carnival Games and stuff like that becoming big hits, then everyone thought that, well, then Wii development should be done for $20 and a six pack and a pizza, and it's just not done that way, and I think I think that the mobile development is where kind of things are going. I think digital is where things are going, but it's, I think there's still some growing pains to get there.
Very cool. Awesome.
Cool.
Guys, Eric and Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for really having good. Us.
Thanks for having
Conduit
us.
Conduit 2 is out April 19th. Good luck with finishing up the game.
Yes. Thank you.
So we'll see you guys at GDC.
See you Absolutely.
Then. All right. Let's check in with the listeners. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Tara did.
Oh.
The subject to Tara's email says, "Answer my question, I'm a girl."
She knows this show well.
It does work. It does help. My name is Tara. You can use my name. I'm not ashamed. I listen to your Knockin' Boots episodes. I think they are pretty great and funny. I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years, totally okay with his gaming, but I want to play too. I'm terrible at playing games with dual analog sticks, but I'm almost okay at Left 4 Dead, according to my boyfriend. But I think he's just being nice. I'm a DS kind of girl. Love Pokemon, Cookie Mama, Animal Crossing, big fan of Pixel Junk Monsters. Wondering if you guys have any other suggestions of games we can play together. I've included a picture so you can tell we are cute and normal.
Aww.
Cute and normal.
They are cute and normal.
They should play Aww. Pixel Junk Shooter together.
Pixel Junk Shooter? There's co-op in that?
Yep.
I was going to suggest Little Big Planet.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did she say where she's from, Tara? Is Tara from anywhere?
She's from somewhere. She does not say, though.
All right, this guy looks like a guy who hung out with me in Chicago at the meet and greet. I was wondering if that was him.
Just any co-op games, basically? Or
for co-op games, sounds like they have a PS3 and a DS.
All right, since they like Left 4 Dead, they should also play...
Castle Crashers?
No way. Dead Nation?
Yeah.
No, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
Castle Crashers.
Dead
Nation's a tough game.
Yeah, so is Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, and she's almost okay at it.
Tara, Little Big Planet, Castle Crashers, and also play Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Really fun co-op game that you can play with your boyfriend. It's from Damien. He's from Penn State, class of 2011.
Nittany Lions.
I read Mr. Miller's review of Dead Space 2. And subsequently read the collective diss in the comments section, as well as the link on Reddit. I cannot fault Mr. Miller for his writing style, but it does make me wonder if IGN has any stylistic standardization protocols in place. Wow. Is there any sort of code of conduct by which all the writers at IGN abide when writing reviews? I only ask because I feel like there is a great bit of disparity among some of the articles. I get an enthusiastic vibe from Mr. Miller's review of Dead Space 2, but when I read Mike Thompson's articles, it feels like a peer-reviewed journal entry. Perhaps appearing to many audiences causes some of them to be displeased at what is aimed towards others.
I know the answer to that.
Go.
Money.
Huh?
Money.
What do you mean?
I got paid more than Mike Thompson
exactly.
got paid.
Well, that's, yeah. See, Greg, Mike Thompson doesn't review games for us, so he doesn't get paid.
Yeah, Greg has publishers. A yacht. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
The real problem is that Mike has a junior high education. I have a middle school education. No, you know, IGN, we're a collection of personalities. That's what we want you to do. We want you to see who we are when we review games.
I think that's what a lot of readers maybe struggle with a little bit is like, they're like, why doesn't your article sound like someone else's article? And it's like, well, I'm not Greg Miller. You know, I'm not Dave.
Well, it's the same reason they're like, how come this game got an 8 and you're saying that this game's better than it? And it's like, who did that? Ryan Clements? I'm not Ryan Clements.
Yeah.
IGN really pushes our personalities. We feel like that's our greatest strength and what sets us apart from other websites out there. In general, what we try to do with our voice is we try to be the expert video game friend that you have talking to you on the couch, telling you what games are cool in a very informal, like,
irreverent
relaxed way.
Yeah. Sort of way.
Irreverence is one of our core values at IGN.
I don't think we ever want to feel like we're lecturing you or like putting you in a college course.
Yeah,
you know?
Like a lot of the complaints on the Dead Space review were that popped up, at least for the vocal minority, whereas that, yeah, I was too conversational and too laid back in the words I chose. And I'm never going to sit there
that you're colloquial?
try to choose big words to try to make you understand what this game is. It's fun. This is great. I liked it.
We try to write at a high level of quality, but we're also going to be very like informal. Yeah. And we're going to talk to you like a real person.
Yeah,
we're going to
talk to you like your friend. If I was talking to my friend in the store, I wouldn't be like, well, thematically,
totally.
Dead Space explores the struggle of human life. I'd be like, no, it's scary and it's fun.
This game's fucking badass. That's basically what we want to say to you.
The easiest way to do it, right, that I think, too, is that there are 300 boring reviews out there, right? Like, there are a million reviews out there who are going to write it the same way. So if you don't like how we do it, feel free not to watch us.
Go read the New York Times.
Yeah. Roger Ebert's one step away from reviewing video games, I heard, so you're all set.
Yeah.
Also, 3D will never, ever, ever work, and nobody will ever, ever want it.
Just like that's what they said about the UMD, Damon.
Roger Ebert's fighting a good fight for me on that one. Dave Murphy says, I'm writing in because I think I've lost interest in playing games. Uh-oh. Don't get me wrong. I love the video game industry and learning about new games, but I just don't care about playing them, at least not the involved and time-consuming ones on consoles. I'm all about short and quick games like Angry Birds, but I just don't have any interest in getting involved with a deep game. I have so many games I bought and never finished, such as Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 2, Fallout New Vegas. Is there anything you can suggest that might kickstart my interest in getting back into these games? I don't think it's – I think even myself, I go through phases where I'm more into games than not.
I was going to say Prozac. Well, sounds like this guy's depressed.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy the things I used to.
He's also listing off like all these epic, deep, lengthy game console games. It's like, well, try some that aren't as lengthy, you know? Like if you don't want to play a 60-hour game, then don't buy that. Go buy something like, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 or something.
Go buy some downloadable games.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Play Pac-Man Championship Edition DX. And, you know, that's when you can, it's awesome, and you can just hop on and play for 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah.
Marvel Pinball, X-Men Arcade.
Marvel Pinball is really fun.
That's amazing.
The big games like Mass Effect or Red Dead, you can put down too and come back. You know what I mean? Like
I think that's his problem.
I think he's just
doesn't
not
come back.
But like, no, I think he's worried about it. Whereas, like with me, like I burned out on Red Dead, right? So I put it down for like 6 months, and then one day I went and saw True Grit, and I was like, oh, I feel like being a cowboy again. And I sat down and finished Red Dead.
Love that movie. That movie's amazing.
True Grit was really good.
But yeah, I mean, there's other games like, I mean, just not to go on Nintendo, but like Donkey Kong Country Returns, you know, stuff like that. That's like, you know, you can beat a few levels and then kind of walk away. Right. You don't need this like super huge epic story. And I feel like a lot of games are going back to that retro style. Where
there's
you can
a lot
do,
of that
you know,
around there.
There's a lot of it around there, so I think you can find it. It's just, you know, you just got to look at it, you know?
There's even modern games that don't take very long to beat. Like, Dead Space 2 isn't really a very long game, you know? Put it on normal and you can cruise through it in, you know, two or three evenings, probably. Yeah. You mentioned True Grit. What do you think should win Best Picture? The Oscar nominations are out.
Oh, what's in? Oh, I don't even know what's in.
Inception.
Running.
Inception. They nominate so many movies now. It's Inception.
They do 10. Toy Story 3.
Yes, Toy Story 3. True Social Grit. Network. True Grit.
King's Speech.
King's Speech. Black Swan.
Black Swan. And that one with the sex.
With the sex?
The one that was almost NC-17, and I can't remember what it's called right now.
Some listeners.
Grown-ups.
Blue something. Grown-ups.
Blue Valentine? Something.
Blue Mountain?
Anyway.
No Strings Attached.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian cried at No Strings Attached. She announced on Twitter too.
Nice. It was important to know that. I think.
I vote for Social Network. That was my favorite movie.
I still haven't seen Social Network.
It's fantastic.
I mean, you just
I love
riches.
Social Network. Yeah. I think I like True Grit more than Social Network. Oh, yeah, I really did
True
love
was
Social
really good
Network.
Too.
Yeah.
True Grit's a remake.
Black Swan is amazing.
Black Swan is really good.
That
too.
That is so good.
And King's Speech. And I really liked King's Speech as well.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I think Natalie Portman should win for Black Swan, and Colin Firth should win for King's Speech.
I could go Inception over all those, though, if I really wanted to. And Toy Story 3 is friggin' amazing, too, actually.
Dude, you can't fault them. Anthony, you're being so quiet. What was your favorite movie?
I don't know. I feel like I
Predators? You want Predators
I'm thinking
win?
In general, like, you guys are, like, seeing all these quality movies, and I'm like, oh, well, I watched Predators. And
Predators was probably the worst movie I saw. And
I thought Predators was really bad. Was and a lot of people bad. Defend that movie, and I don't understand why.
What's your...
I was like, oh, no, the Japanese guy, he found a katana. Don't tell me they're going to have a sword battle. And they did. Spoilers.
Yeah.
What's your cheap thrill movie of the year? Like the one that you probably shouldn't like, but you did, like Expendables A-Team. Like, I actually really like both of those.
I never saw either of those.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I don't know if it's cheap thrill. I really liked Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass is good. Yeah,
I thought Kick-Ass was really fun.
And Kick-Ass is respectable.
And Scott Pilgrim. I like Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim
too.
I enjoyed.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That last email was from the ghost of Baby Charles on Yet. Just so you know. Just a couple more emails.
Oh, I want a Jordan Bolt email next week, by the way.
Okay, Jordan Bolt, please write into us. Hmm? One more email. This is from Daniel. He was one of the winners of the ZQ magazine.
Oh, yeah.
That
we sent out. Yeah, the zombie one. Dead Rising 2.
In order to thank us for sending that, he made the sketch of Batman riding a Sharktopus.
Oh, good.
It's pretty good.
Oh, Batman's really enjoying it, too.
Batman's having a good time. Robin, Robin is he's holding on for dear life.
Man, this is an interesting take on the Sharktopus.
I know.
The tentacles are the
shark heads. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have a very hard time. I feel like that would have a very time getting anywhere. They'd all be fighting
each
other.
Different directions.
It's all up to Batman. Batman is right. He's piloting the Sharktopus. So we're going to definitely add this.
The setting sun is nice in the background.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We're going to add this to the wall. Thank you a lot for that, Daniel. That's really, really good. And that's all the scoops we have for you this week. It went by really fast, didn't it?
It did. You did a good job. Scott Lowe will not punch you in the face.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah.
Thank you to our friends at High Voltage, too. My name is Damon.
So you inserted that in there?
Yeah. Well, that's going to be in there, yeah.
Like, you're doing
you missed
now.
It.
It's
yeah.
magic. It's podcast
but why
magic.
Didn't you didn't do you never kicked it to him. You got to do the bump.
Well, at the beginning of that bit, I introduced him.
There's a lot of magic, you know, like how movies are
made.
That
was a really good segment.
Yeah. I think we all learned a lot.
Yeah, it was very informative.
Anyway, my name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.